Another day of training camp in the books. We got a lot to talk about. We got the was it a sack? Wasn't a sack from Saturday? And there was a trade. We had a trade. What is up, Finn fans? Welcome to another Dolphin Collective. Hope you guys are having a fantastic Monday. We got a ton of great stuff to talk about today. But first, we got to shout out them sponsors. They help us keep the lights on. They help us keep going. First off, with Prize Picks, when you use that promo code HMA and you're a new user, you play $5. And when you win, I always say when because I have faith in all of you, you get $150. Easy peasy. Go check it out. You also are able to do future picks. You as well can make team picks. So much fun. Go click the link in the description. Use that promo code and check it out. And another one that we've been using, SeatGeek, Collective 10. You get 10% off. What do I say in the past? Let's listen. Shout out to today's sponsor, and that is SeatGeek. Love, love, love using this app. They have 35 million downloads, making SeatGeek the number one rated ticket app. They are more than 70,000 events listed. 70,000. And it ain't just sports. They have concerts, festival, and more. Super fun and easy to use. Use that promo code COLLECTIVE10 for 10% off your next set of SeatGeek tickets. That is 10% off any tickets with that promo code COLLECTIVE10. Go use the app. Again, linked below. Get yourself 10% off your next set of tickets, regardless of where you're going. And again, shout out to SeatGeek for sponsoring this video. SeatGeek. Shout them out. So let's get into it. Dolphins made a trade.
Nah, we don't get into this sack or no sack. I don't even want to.
Isn't that? It's like the last. All right, we'll talk about
first. Nothing. You said it. We're going to address
it. It's the last one. It's the last topic.
All right, fine.
Let's get to the. How about this? We'll get to the trade and then we'll get to that because we'll talk about Saturday's scrimmage. Okay.
No sack. I'm sorry. What?
So let's first the trade. So the Miami Dolphins. Fun fact: Caden Wallace was talked about being released, and I think Omar and a bunch of other beat writers were like, "Dolphins need some offensive line help." And then all of a sudden they're like, "Whoa, whoa, pump the brakes!" They actually made a trade. The Dolphins are getting Caden Wallace and a seventh of 2029, and they are sending a 2028 sixth. So it's really nothing. It is what it is, and they get Caden Wallace. But obviously, it's not like a groundbreaking trade. It doesn't mean that Caden Wallace is going to come in and he's going to be, you know, Laramie Tunsil for us or anything like that. Because if he was,
right now, considering
yeah, he's hurt. He would have gotten traded. So,
One thing should be pointed out: when you hear about a player being released in the morning, that's make your offer if you want to avoid him being on the waiver wire. You need him. We'll receive all the offers. And the Dolphins, when I saw that, I was like, I don't even care what he looks like. Mm. If he looks anything better than what I've seen, it will be an upgrade. And what I've seen will not help you this season. Poupard, am I lying to you?
No, but can we, as I was saying before we hit record, can we pump the brakes? Because again, if Caden Wallace was all that in a bag of Doritos, not a bag of chips, but a bag of Doritos, would the Patriots be releasing him before their first preseason game after they've already paid his rookie signing bonus and when he's got like very minimum salary? So obviously they don't think much of him.
Let me counter your argument with this.
Go for it.
Okay, two things. Would you have traded Cam Smith before you put him into an exhibition game last year if you could have gotten this exact trade?
No, not for a 2028 sixth-round pick and –
I would have taken some bags of chips. I would have taken a $10, 10-pack a bag of chips. But anyway, and also understand that I think we're looking at a different era of athletes. We are dealing with the NIL generation of athletes where if you talk to me hard, if you criticize me, if you coach me difficult, if you demote me, I want to transfer. Okay, there is no transfer in the NFL, but I want to trade. We don't know. I don't know if he was you have New England people, so maybe you heard that he. I would love to hear what you. Yes, but hold on. But let me finish this point. So in this era of athletes, because it's new, we've never dealt with this before. If they don't like you, they want to get up out of your organization and your program. And we don't know if this is something that he was encouraged to do or create. You create a difficult environment. Deuces, big dog.
Yeah, well, okay. But except we're not talking about an established player. He's got 10 games in 2 years with two starts. And he was a tackle at Penn State, tackled as a rookie with New England. Mike Vrabel comes in. They move him to guard, and he basically is an afterthought. And this year he had an injury early in camp. And then he comes back and he's buried on the depth chart. And I have, I have zero issue with the trade, even not waiting to see if the Dolphins could get him on the waiver wire, because 2028 sixth round pick, I'm sorry, that's nothing. And you take a shot. My whole point is, let's go easy with the expectations of, look, we've solved our backup tackle problem. And by the way, the point I was going to make is that I teased to you guys before. Charlie Heck, for the past 2 days after beating Booty Cheeks, actually has looked pretty good.
Today he looked good. I'm not willing to say yes. I mean, the Saturday practice, okay, maybe. But yes, Booty Cheeks, rear end.
facial cheeks. Oh, so from one cheek to the whole
for the record, Alan, we're tired of pumping the brakes. We're out of brake fluid, okay? And we realize we have a elite quarterback now, so we need to put our foot on the gas.
Okay. It's not nice things. With all due respect, you're not going anywhere with other teams' rejects. The Dolphins are going to do.
Okay. You know how many guards have been in Miami and gone to other teams and been serviceable? Serviceable is so good for us right now. If we can get serviceable out of this guy, that is massive. Like, sure.
But all I'm saying is, help myself. Is he going to make 53?
Who knows? He come in the building and he's serviceable. Look at what we have.
Name something that's serviceable now at that tackle, Poupar.
Right now, Charlie Heck is serviceable as a backup.
One day.
As a backup tackle. But number one, it's 2 days. You actually think the guy who's got 10 games with two starts in 2 years in New England just dumped?
That looks like an NFL player. Charlie Heck looks like an NFL player to you, Poupard?
Hold on, Alan.
Let him answer the question. Let him answer the question. Does Charlie Heck look like an NFL player that belongs on a 53-man roster to you? 10 days of training
camp. Marginal.
Pump the brakes, Alan, on Heck, okay?
I'm not selling you Charlie Heck. I'm just telling you.
And we're beating up on him because the underlings aren't even worth mentioning. Like, there's nothing there.
How much longer do you think Charlie Heck has? Because we saw Keon Smith. They didn't give him much of a leash, and they cut him. So how much longer do you think Charlie Heck gets?
They gave Keon Smith 3 years. I mean, we're talking about a leash.
Jeff Hafley and Sullivan was here for 3 years.
No, but I mean, it's not.
That's what I'm saying. We got a whole new regime. They didn't give him much. They gave him, like, what, OTAs and minicamp? They're like, this guy sucks.
He's a vested veteran, so more than likely his contract be guaranteed if he's on the roster for week one. So,
he'll probably be cut then brought back?
I don't know.
He's a better alternative.
He's a guy who's in the danger of the waiver wire, so he can. But the rest of them, I'm not even sure there's a 50. There's a practice squad tackle on this roster.
We just brought him in.
Maybe.
And also about the trade, I'm hoping. And there have been times where their language is contingent on this guy has to make our 53.
Yeah, it also said at the very bottom though, it said pending a physical. So he obviously hasn't taken a physical yet.
Every kid is getting a physical, and there's nothing that says conditional in the trade. Again, Omar, it's a 2028 sixth round pick. Big whoop.
Yeah, I agree. And they get back a seventh in 2029. I really don't care.
So far into the future.
I mean, who knows?
Like, you have to do something, and there's nothing out there. Like, I mean, last week I was talking about James Daniels. Like, you got to do something. You got to figure something out. because it's not good.
So Wait, do we see him?
I don't think this team has. Maybe I'll go seven. DJ, I'll include DJ Campbell, who I really haven't seen anything from, but I don't expect anything until we start to see the exhibition games and truthfully, exhibition game number two. But there's seven offensive linemen here who belong on a 53-man roster.
What about the Cleveland guy? What's his name? I'm probably saying it wrong. Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
Cleveland Farrell.
He's an edge. What does that have to do with the offensive line?
Oh, see, I'm thinking that he was a tackle. Never mind.
Former first-round pick. You don't remember that draft? I think we
I remember now. I'm just throwing names, trying to remember these claims. Nah,
this team is in trouble at tight end, tackle, cornerback, safety.
Mm-hmm.
I think they've got edges.
Why do you keep saying we're in trouble at tight end?
Injuries.
Yeah, well, those
you didn't realize your top two tight ends are injured?
Dulcich is healthy now.
Dulcich was back, and he didn't have the red jersey. He didn't have the red jersey.
I know, but come on. You do realize Dulcich has injury history throughout his career, right?
Sims hurt.
He's Juju Brents of tight ends.
Speaking of Juju Brents. Anyway, let's get to the next topic, and I'm going to jump down a little bit, being that it was Saturday, and it's a hot topic, not the store that I shop at. Was it a sack? Everyone, that it's the black and blue golden whatever dress. It's the whole thing. Was it a sack or wasn't it a sack? I'll give my opinion.
Please share.
And we'll go through it. I think Chop didn't go full speed. And I think once he realized, oh, I got this man beat, I don't want to kill my quarterback, I think he pulled up. I think he honestly would have got him. If anything, he would have wrapped his legs up. And I think it would have been a sack.
Tagged him. Touched him. Are you supposed to touch quarterbacks, Alan
Papart? No, I used to get in so much trouble.
Are you supposed to touch quarterbacks, Alan Papart?
Don't even get near them.
Him reaching.
He wasn't even running.
Quarterbacks.
No, he was running, and he made an inside move to get past Austin.
And then he pulled up and just tapped him on the leg.
Are you supposed to touch quarterbacks, Alan Papart?
What does that have to do with anything?
That's our question.
He tagged.
We need a judge here because the witness will not answer the question. Are you supposed to touch quarterbacks?
Tagged him more so than Robert Beal did today after he spun around and got past Jonah and got in Malik Willis's face and just stopped. Chop didn't stop. He tagged him.
Judge, the witness is not answering the question. Are you supposed to touch quarterbacks?
To touch a quarterback, yes. You're not supposed to tackle him. You can touch him to say, I got him.
Red jerseys mean what, Alan Papard?
It means you don't tackle him or touch him or push him hard.
It means no contact, Alan Papard. You're playing with words. It means no contact. It's touching contact, Alan Papard. Hey,
TD, back me up on this, TD. It's touching
contact, Alan Papard.
Okay. So for the resident viewer that was behind the goalpost watching from the defensive perspective, looking at it straight on, the whole play, like centerfold, okay? First, if you notice at the beginning of the play, Chop was fighting with his man, came free, looked in the backfield, and was actually shocked at first. Oh, Malik still has the ball. So he hesitated before he even rushed him afterwards. Then he went in for the rush. Malik saw him coming in. Malik darted.
No, okay, Malik, I'm going to pull it up. Okay, keep going.
Yeah, you're going to see it. Malik darted to the right. Now, Chop Robinson's not allowed to tackle Malik Willis here, obviously, right? Chop Robinson runs as fast as he can to go get him and taps him on the hip, okay? Now, here's what you need to understand on that. In a real game situation, to make that tackle, Chop Robinson would have had to dive and lock on to Malik, which I'm not saying he wouldn't have done, but Malik's inertia moving would have broken that any day of the week. He was already on his way out of that, okay? Now, keep in mind, it's unfair to say whether it was a sack or not. I think it's more fair to say 30% sack, 70% non-sack. That's what I have.
Look what he did right there. You're going to tell me that was in a great position to make a tackle? Look what he was doing right there.
Look, he slows down to just touch him.
But Malik is moving. We've seen Jalen Phillips do this a million times.
He would have hit it. He would have
arguing about Malik's elusive ability.
He would have hit his legs together. He would have took him down.
I would have.
No.
If this was live action, I probably would have told you it might not have been a sack.
But you're telling me at this point right here, you don't think that Chop is like, all right, like in a real life game, he's not going full speed at the quarterback. He's not. Right,
back up, Doug. Back up for a second. I want you to play at full speed. Chop is actually shocked. He still has the ball right here. See, go back. Yeah. You don't see the hesitation. Chop was shocked. He still had the ball right there.
He's a lineman.
No, I'm telling you, Doug. Chop was like, Chop stood straight up.
He still had the ball. Yeah,
he was shocked he still had the ball. Then he
would have sacked him.
He needed a touch right there.
That wasn't going to be a sack. Malik Willis would have broke through that.
It wasn't going to be a sack. But in a practice setting, if you touch the quarterback, it's play over.
Yeah, we know that. But in real, what did Jeff Hafley say today in his presser? He said, yeah, it's great that you get back there, but would you have really made the sack?
I think he
said it out of his own mouth.
I think when he went like that and he pulled up, I think he would have went full speed. I think he would have went full speed around the tackle. I think it would have been in a real game situation. I think Chop goes quicker. I think he gets back there quicker. And I think it would have been a sack. But I think it would have been like
he went full speed once he saw that Malik still had the
ball. I think it would have been a shoestring.
This ridiculousness.
I think it would have been a shoestring sack where he smacked his legs together. Cause see how he like tapped them and then pulled up. I think that's what he
fair,
would
Doug. That's yeah. fair, but you can argue it would have been a shoestring miss.
Oh yeah, no, he wouldn't have like boomed them, but he would. I think he would have like smacked his legs or smacked his thigh and like and took him down.
A better question. When has Chop Robinson earned the benefit of the doubt?
Today, when he put Patrick Paul in his last, to me, he earned the benefit of the doubt.
Too. Hey, but that was before that. I'm just saying.
But anyway. Saturday, you guys were there. Give us a little rundown of Saturday just quickly, and then we'll get into today. A lot of people showed up. Not obviously filled the stadium, but a lot of people showed up. Looked like a really cool atmosphere. Saw some nice plays. Saw a nice deep pass from Quinn Ewers. We'll start with TD. What, you know, just takeaways. You can say good or bad, whatever. What'd you see Saturday?
I thought the defense was better on Saturday. I thought they made a lot of plays. I kind of put a lot of heavy emphasis on the first unit instead of the overall practices, because a lot of those guys, they'll be plugged in spurts. They won't really make the team, half of them, but other guys will. So in the first unit, I felt like the defense did pretty well with that first unit. Malik made a few plays here and there, some Caleb Douglas action and stuff like that. Nothing to write home about. But I thought it was a good practice, because what's happening just in general in every practice, I feel like iron is sharpening iron. We don't have like constant defensive domination or constant offensive domination. I just feel like each side of the football just keeps responding to the other side on occasions. And that's how it's supposed to be. Because if we're crying about, oh, we need the offense to dominate, then that means the defense isn't. And vice versa. I like the back and forth battles that they're having. And that's what you want in camp. What's so funny?
To me, because I love the fact
Alan hates that saying.
Iron sharpens iron. And I like what they brought to the table. And it was next man up. And everybody gave it 110%. And they were where their feet were. Those were my takeaways from this. Right? My biggest takeaway was Malik Willis had a very nice touchdown run on a play that wasn't a Chop Robinson sack.
Had to throw that back in there.
We'll never know.
Hey, we need to ask Chop if he would have got there. No, he said he would have got there.
What did you expect him to say?
Omar, that's like St. Patrick Paul saying today I slipped after.
We'll get to that because it got a little choppy between those two gentlemen.
I need to see Tommy from Hialeah's video on that for replay review purposes.
Shout out to Tommy.
It's a legal video. You cannot promote it. Well, you should
know, but how does he not get caught? He's like, he must have it like
Tommy done paid off people.
Yeah. Tommy knows what he's doing. He goes there every year. Tommy knows what he's doing.
Tommy, there should be pictures up of Tommy, most wanted man in Monte Carlo.
Oh my gosh.
Alan, what did you see Saturday?
I saw a bunch of guys putting their best.
You saw iron sharpening iron.
That's right. Well, y'all, I ain't gonna lie, y'all some low key haters of this team. Y'all need to stop.
No, I'm a low key hater of that saying because, oh my lord, does it say nothing? Seriously. I'm with TD. It was rather nondescript. I thought Malik was easily the best quarterback of the three. I think to recall that I think Quinn had a better practice than he's had, and then today went back to like not so good.
Quinn has been trash, and I like Quinn.
Okay. And it's weird though. You didn't expect this. I didn't expect this. Not like this.
I didn't expect it either.
I'm through making excuses for him because there are no excuses. The line is not that great. Okay, he's got better receivers than he had last year when he looked great.
Right. That's the point right there. Did he look great, or did he look great for a rookie seventh round pick playing the last three games on a team that's
made quick decisions in practice? He was poised. He looks in his interception today. It was 3rd and 10. He felt the pressure. It's like I always look at these situations about the guys who don't handle criticism and handle adversity. And I'm not saying that that's Quinn or that's not Quinn. You could feel there was a moment where I saw him throw an interception and Jeff Hafley went to talk to him like a couple days ago. And he hung his head. He was like, I did it again. Yes. And you could just tell when guys start to press, and Quinn is past the point of pressing. Like Quinn is like, we were pressing 4 days ago. He is just digging himself deeper in a hole.
My point is I think we oversold him on what he did last year, including this notion of he should be given the right to compete for the starting job. To me, the ceiling was kind of like the Dolphins have themselves a really solid number two quarterback, and right now that's in question. But this notion that he was, the Dolphins really should give him a chance to compete for the starting job.
I mean, let's be real. OTAs, it was – at least 60-40.
I can name you another quarterback who's great in OTAs and when the regular season starts.
Don't do it.
No, I'm not doing it.
But Quinn Ewers, I have a theory on what's going on with him. Yes. I think this offense isn't predicated on spot throwing. And he adjusted his game last year into that timing and spot throwing and all of that. And now he's trying to actually go through reads and progressions like the full gamut, and he's paying for it. I think that's what it is, because like in a timing system, he knows where to put the ball. I think he started to acclimate to that because that's what our offense was predicated on. And it's probably what he was coached to, because it's what the whole offense could do. But that's the only thing that I could think of. Outside of that, this is a massive fall, in my opinion.
I want to see him work with the same unit. I get it. Guys are going to change. Guys are going to elevate. Guys are going to go down. Guys are going to have injuries. But give that man Theo East. Give him AJ Henning. Give him Taj Washington. And let's see what he does. Because at this point, we're at the point where we got to start lifting his confidence. Because he's going to be here. He's going to be the backup. And right now, his confidence has to be in the dumps. And like you could just see him pressing on every single critical play. And that's not a good spot for a quarterback to be in.
Speaking of practice today, more injuries are really starting to pop up. Sealer didn't practice today. Then we find out that Gonzalez is week to week, not even day to day.
Gonzalez is on IR.
Gonzalez is now on the IR?
Yes. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Done for the year. Riley Patterson's your kicker for the second
straight. That's new to me. And then you have Uche and Willie Gay, who seem to have gotten banged up during practice.
No. Willie Gay has been limited since.
Well, here's the thing. Willie Gay was doing indies, and at one point, all of a sudden, he started putting his hand behind his back like he was in discomfort, and he kept doing that for quite a bit, and he did a couple more indie drills, and again, the hand behind the back almost at every turn, and then it was like slow, could tell not very comfortable. And then they started team periods, and he was not involved and eventually walked off the field with a trainer.
Uche, kind of the same thing.
Yeah, I don't know exactly when Willie Gay got hurt, but I can tell you that I saw
him. I think there was a day we noticed him. Everybody else was doing individual drills, and he was working with the block and sled, and he wasn't even doing what they were doing. And I don't know if that was a factor. I don't know. And I damn sure don't want to speculate on anything related to Willie Gay. So let's just I want it on record. I'm a Willie Gay fan. I believe he's been shysted. I believe he should be competing for a starting spot, but he is not. It is what it is.
He's competing for a roster spot, if we're going to be honest about it.
Yeah. I don't care. Willie can cut Willie. Willie be fine. Willie will be fine. He deserves to be on this team, but you know the politics of this situation. They want to play the rookies. There are three rookies that they want to play ahead of him. It is what it is.
Here's the problem, though, is they have like seven linebackers. I don't know how many you keep. You're not cutting any of the three rookies, Trey Moore, Kyle Lewis, or Jacob Rodriguez. Mm-hmm. Not Jordan Brooks, obviously.
Dotson.
Jackson Woodard is a key special teams guy who's actually played decent in training camp. That leaves Tyrell Dotson and Willie Gay Jr., who doesn't make the 53.
Don't exclude Ronnie Harrison Jr., because I think Ronnie Harrison
Jr., sorry, no, who's actually looked very good in camp.
He's looked very good. Okay. I don't know what they're going to do. Okay. I don't care what they're going to do. As I said from the last year, how Willie Gay's been treated is unfair. Mm. It is what it is.
You think it's personal, though? Seriously.
I didn't say it was personal, but I said it's...
You don't think the Dolphins are doing what they think is best for the team, and obviously...
Yes, that's great. But when you're doing what you think is best for the team, that doesn't always mean it's fair.
Or well, you working. Sound like Lonnie Johnson Jr.
Lonnie Johnson Oh,
that's exactly what he said coming in. You know, he's just been passed up.
That's the thing. Everybody, we know the reason I don't hype up rookies is because people like Doug and TD, all y'all care about is how these rookies are doing. All y'all obsessed about these rookies and your fan base is rookie.
That's all we got.
Let them show something. Like Jacob Rodriguez. You can hype him all you want right now.
Oh, now we can.
Yes,
you can. Now we can.
Yes, you can.
Because he's earned it, right?
He has shown it.
I can't hype Proctor?
No, not really. No. When we get to the joint practices and we get to the first exhibition game, because right now I want everyone to tell the truth. Y'all thought Jonah was good at this point last year. Every single one of y'all.
Oh, stop. Who is
Trey not looking at me?
Not you. You're excluded. Yes. Like, and I would sit here and tell y'all he playing Kenneth Grant. Like, what you want?
Holy.
That ain't, you know. And Kenneth Grant has practiced better, by the way, for the last 2 days. And he's got an elevator role now that Zach is down. And you gotta deliver. You gotta look like first round pick. Because right now, you are back up to a fifth round pick and a first round and a seventh round pick. Mm. Like you gotta look like a first round pick, right?
And mm-hmm. as far as rookies, I believe Chris Johnson should be on the boundary and no nickel right now.
I'm with you.
I always said that's where he should have been to begin with. Because
I'm with you on that.
I mean, Nickel got to be grown.
He looks a lot better on the boundary, but where is he needed more? Because you don't have any other nickel.
I get that, but you need to treat him like you're treating Caden Proctor when you're putting him at guard. That's the perfect person you should be putting at the boundary because he can handle the boundary right now, in my opinion, at least.
You're making a very good point. Why are you treating one first round pick differently than the other? And he is clearly a better boundary guy. However, you need him as a nickel because you don't have any other nickel.
And maybe they're treating him differently because the coaching staff feels he can handle more than Proctor at this time.
They both dogs.
Talking about the rookies and Jacob Rodriguez and Caleb Douglas, they seem to be coming, you know, getting their groove going. Is it, and I talk about this on my channel, is it due to the fact that maybe now at the point of them learning the offense and defense, it isn't like memorizing plays, it's now just instinctually playing football?
No.
Can we pump the brakes? I said this before and I'm going to say it again.
We're out of brake fluid.
Thank you.
We're going. Out of brake fluid.
Please. Okay, I'll say it another way. Simmer down now. Simmer down on Caleb Douglas because First of all, I have not. Here's the thing. Tall. He can move. Yes. I have not seen him make one very like difficult catch where he has to go to the ground or really high. What he's good at is if there's somebody on his back, he's good at shielding off and all that. He also has got the drop seas every once in a while. The hands are not terribly consistent. So can we, again, simmer down a
little bit? Hold on. This is, Alan, this is what you tend to do. When me and TD say something, you take it to such an extreme. We are just comparing said rookies from the OTAs till now. Oh, can you agree
that we're going to make progress? But we have two
definitely.
It's funny too because I have control over their microphones, and I should just start muting people. I'm just going to start muting people.
I think you're going to be all pro. So no,
don't you think, Alan, from OTAs and minicamp, even to the beginning of training camp, do you think that Caleb Douglas and Rodriguez got a little bit better, and it seems like they're getting? I'm not saying they're like ready for the NFL, but they're getting more comfortable. Does it seem like that to you?
Well, but
answer the question.
You guys are talking like this, super.
No, cool. That's how you're taking it. That's not how we're talking about it. Well, that's how he's talking about it. That's not how I'm talking about it.
I mean, I will tell you, I've seen a lot more growth from Jacob Rodriguez than I have from Caleb Douglas.
Man,
he looks like a totally different guy than he was in the offseason program. As I said on the previous show, I'm like falling in deep light with him.
Mm. Caleb Douglas is an amazing route runner.
Simmer down now.
He is. I'm going to stand on that.
Calm down. He's not amazing. He's a good route runner that can create separation.
Bro, he gives no tails to the defense coming in and out of his breaks. That man is a great route runner already.
Yeah, who is covering him?
Yeah, it doesn't matter when you have the big body frame and you've already proven to be able to box out.
Let me see him do that. Let me see him get open in Washington. And then
All right.
And then I give you the props.
Is Rasul Douglas in Washington?
Yep, sure is.
Man, this is going to be the test.
We're going to end this on Wednesday. We're going to end this debate. We're going to give him his props.
If he gets shut down,
he's going to make plays, Doug.
That's why Wednesday is going to be Wednesday is going to be a big day for getting a good understanding of what this team is because they're playing against each other. So, again, what receivers, what are the corners? They're playing and like Omar keeps saying, he's going up against Kenneth Grant or he's going up against who and that. Wednesday, they ain't going up against their teammates.
Yeah, but you also got to factor in, does Rasul Douglas want to practice tomorrow, my practice on Wednesday?
Yeah.
Rasul don't care about no scrimmage practice. He trying to get out of it like some of these veterans that all of a sudden, got a shoulder hurt.
Yeah,
unless it's a bit salty that the Dolphins didn't want to bring him back.
Yes, he is going to be salty.
Well, that may be incentive to be like, okay, let me shut his ass down. And
you're probably right. You're probably right. Steady. So, yeah.
That's why I feel bad for Uche. No Laremy Tunsil, this is your opportunity.
No, that's Chop. That's Chop.
Chop be on the left a lot.
Uche might not, probably is not going to even practice. So.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah, Uche's not going to.
And Chuck was doing from the right side on one-on-ones against Patrick Paul.
Mm.
I mean, he does both sides.
He does both sides. Chop moves.
Mm-hmm. Chop made improvement. Oh, I think it's fair to just cement that he has made improvement and it's already noticeable.
I'd argue to you, Chop has been the top player of OTAs. I mean, of training camp.
Simmer down. Let me guess. Training camp?
Every day, Chop is impactful.
Well, I don't even include Malik Willis. We already know what he is.
Who's been the most impactful player of training camp there to you?
Y'all going to try to jump on me and you're going to get mad when I say it.
Okay, I'm listening.
Jacob Rodriguez, man. Jacob Rodriguez has been consistently making. No, he don't just make plays. They're typically big plays. Tackle for loss, pass breakup.
Last 4 or 5 practices.
Simmer down, TD. They're calling plays for him. And he's executing. They're testing him to see.
How do you call a play for a defender when you don't know
what all of a sudden he's on every blitz? Come on, man.
No, but he's got a hell of a nose for the ball. TD, I would say this. The past 4 or 5 days, I'm completely with you. Like early in training camp, it was a little bit slower cooking, but he would be in the conversation for me. Yes.
And I don't know if y'all can say it, but that's not like he didn't climb units.
have no idea what you're talking about.
He went from the second unit. Now he's every day with the first.
Bro,
I see.
Stacked in his favor. What do you want?
Oh, man.
Trey Moore has been with the ones from OTAs. He hasn't done anything.
Man, y'all, boy. Oh, these rookies. You got to like, it's possible. Let me just say this. It is possible a rookie can be great.
Doug, I'm giving him that one. Jacob Rodriguez. I said up.
I'm not going to sit there and fight you either. Jacob Rodriguez is definitely in the top five. Has he outperformed Jordan Brooks? Probably, but
Brooks is another one. Like, I mean, every day.
But we knew that was going to happen.
You can't grade on a scale. See, if we're going to talk to best performer in training camp, you don't go on a scale and punish Jordan Brooks because he was.
Yeah, no. And Chop is dominant every day, and I didn't expect that.
Let's not say every day.
And Chop is dominant every day.
Maybe 4 or 5 days, I've seen it. That's what had me like, okay.
Well, he did have a sack Saturday to prevent Malik Willis.
There you go.
Hey, that wasn't the only play that he made Saturday. Don't act like it was the only play he made. Listen, and he did make that play.
No, his legs together.
I'll say my top five performers of training camp.
Oh, this is going to be good.
I put Brewer on there. I ain't seen him lose one-on-one yet. I would put Patrick Paul on there. He's lower on my list. Top five. Okay, Jacob Rodriguez. I'm still leaving Patrick Paul on there.
Okay.
And Malik Willis.
That was four.
No, he said five.
Oh, five. So Alan, Doug, is Caleb Douglas in any of your top five for camp, whether he's going to end up being that way or not?
Not yet.
He's been performing consistently.
No.
Been the number one target.
He's Butterfingers.
He had a bad drop today that hit him right in the hands.
The man dropping one out of every five as a rookie.
Yeah, and then God forbid that one is the first down. We need to keep the drive going.
Bro. Your job is to catch the ball. When he feels footsteps, that ball might be coming out.
See, for me, it's an uphill battle because I think they reached really hard for him when they took him. So he needs to prove a lot to me. But again, who the hell am I?
Does he look like a third round pick?
Yes.
Yeah.
Does he look like a second round pick?
No. Yes. I could tell you he could be rookie of the year. Rookie of the year, if he works on the jug machine, works on catching ball in contact, like they need to be clobbering him on the jug machine. Like he's scared to get hit. And if he actually gets past that, he might have something special.
I think the pass that he dropped too, he like jumped to catch it. And I'm like, and when he didn't need to jump to catch it, if I remember correctly.
Sorry, that was a play where Robert Beal beat Jonah and got in Malik's face and completely stopped. That to me is a sack that I would give him.
But I will say what I liked about it is he bounced back from that bad play where he had the drop and he actually was pretty good for the rest of the camp.
The important thing with Caleb Douglas is he's exceeding expectations.
No, what was your expectation?
So this was your expectation?
Yeah, third round pick, yes.
Wow, you just said he was playing like a second round pick.
What else is on your unit?
He's not exceeding your expectation.
What else is on your unit? You act like I got another choice of wide receiver.
Wow.
Who else is
exceeding your expectation?
No, I mean, because again, to me, there's something there. And to me, I think he's got, to me, for a wide receiver, the number one thing I want is a guy who's going to catch the ball. I mean, it's like, and I think even though he's so much more limited athletically, Malik Washington's played better than him.
I would not agree with you.
Y'all act like he's playing 50-50 on catches.
Who?
Like y'all act like Caleb Douglas dropping one out of every two.
He's dropping one out of every four. He drops one out of every four.
I got to start.
He's scared to get hit. He's scared of contact. If he feels a safety, and keep in mind, your safety play ain't that good right now. So imagine if it was actually a good safety out there.
Hey, Michael Taft's actually playing pretty well.
Who?
Michael Taft. He's in positions sometimes, just saying.
No.
When you said he's afraid of contact, I instantly thought of Ted Ginn. Like, instantly thought of Ted Ginn. Is that what Caleb Douglas is looking like right now?
No.
All right, good.
Ted Ginn was afraid of contact.
Ted Ginn, yeah, he would run out of bounds on kick returns. I was like, what are you doing?
Ted Ginn played 13 years in the NFL, taking care of his body. I think he won.
Well, yeah, he got his money, but at the end of the day.
He would head for that sideline pretty quickly.
Mm-hmm. And he played a long career doing it, too.
Yes, he did. No question about it.
And there's no shame in making business decisions.
There have been a lot of like rookies that look good. I like the way Parker has looked. I like the way Jacob has looked. Chris Johnson has been pretty good. But sorry if I'm not giving you Michael Taft. Kevin Coleman looked like he has something, but he's been out for the past 2 weeks now.
If Michael Taft was good, he'd have the starting safety spot already.
What about Kuzmarek? I mean, I hear flashes of Kuzmarek.
Yeah, flashes. Like, to me, he looks like a really solid guy who could have a long NFL career. Still not sure you needed to draft him in the third round.
Kuzmarek could be like a Fasano.
He's not athletically. Fasano had some athletic gifts.
Did he? I agree. So he's like that guy who's, I'm going to block for you and, you know, I'll slip out. On like third and whatever, and get you a touchdown if you need it, type of tight end.
He's like between Julian Hill and Kuzmarek and Fasano. Sorry.
Oh, okay. I can see what you're saying.
I'm not even sure he's Julian Hill right now.
Maybe bad Julian
Hill. Definitely bad Julian Hill.
Be nice to him. He's out for the year. Poor guy.
I like Julian Hill. I thought, an undrafted guy beats out a rookie draftee. What more can you say?
R. Stovall wants to know about Kyle Lewis.
Made a play today. I can't remember much, but
TD, you can answer this because you didn't sign nothing. Have you seen Kyle Lewis at safety at all?
Not that I recall.
See, I can do that. When TD's there, I can ask him the questions that YouTube can't answer.
I know our rookie class is playing really good football right now.
Who are they?
Our rookie class. They're playing good football right now. I am overall
bet very easily.
Boy, Omar, you go down this hill. I promise you go down with it.
I mean, you, a lot of your guys might play, but they're going to be very bad, and that's going to be a very bad team.
How you know? Just like I don't know if they're going to be good. How you know they're going to be bad? How you know?
Because the rookies are going to make rookie mistakes, man.
Not all rookies make rookie mistakes.
Not all rookies make rookie mistakes.
Some just dogs coming into the league as rookies, just great players.
They'll make rookie mistakes.
Most.
And we got like three of them on this roster. So, yeah.
Like, I'll name a certain guy that always gets people's panties in a twist, but Justin Herbert made rookie mistakes when he faced the Dolphins.
Are we talking about singular games? Because Herbert's rookie season was pretty darn good.
He didn't make any mistakes?
Every player in the NFL, Myles Garrett, makes mistakes.
But he didn't make any rookie mistakes?
I mean, if every player in the league makes a mistake, then yes. Every player in NFL history has made a rookie mistake then. Okay.
I don't know. When you have to go a whole drive running the ball, seems like I made a rookie mistake.
I don't know. Doug, what is it with you and Herbert?
It was just the first thing that popped in my head was that game and how for a whole drive they had to run the ball. Because I think he threw an interception.
How many mistakes he made this year?
I would love for that man to win a playoff.
That was the game. You know what stand out? I remember that game. The day after the game, Keenan Allen said Brian Flores had us so twisted we didn't know what the hell they were doing. Which is like, it was flabbergasting to me because I'd never heard an offensive player admit that.
That's what Flores was so good at. He would mess with rookie quarterbacks so well.
Yeah. You see what Cam Ward said in quarterbacks about it?
No.
He was watching the film. He was like, yeah, the Minnesota defense, I've never seen this in my life, what I'm looking at right now.
Four Dolphins at Minnesota.
Oh man.
Everybody hit the like button. We're like 15 followers from 1,000. Everybody's watching, hit the like button. Love you guys.
Let's go.
Yeah. Glad we're getting back to where we were.
Yeah, I know, right? We're almost at 1,000 people. watching. Let's get to reason for excitement, and then we'll get to the donations. Let's start with TD. Mm-hmm. What are your reasons for excitement?
I have a list, Doug.
Malik Willis.
No, he's just one of 18, Alan. Oh, okay. Malik Willis is
one of 18.
Yeah, one of 18 reasons.
You have 18 reasons.
Can I start Omar so I can blow through it fast?
Okay.
I just try to blow through it real fast. Okay. So first of all, Malik Willis is showing everyone that he has no flaws. Number one, okay, he's amazing. Throwing off of platform, back. Yeah. I mean, he's just amazing. Let's call it what it is.
You better have four other points about Malik Willis on this 18 list. Go ahead.
Well, we already know. I've been saying it for months now. The arm strength is impeccable. His ability to make off platform throws, his ability to make plays when a play breaks down, his ability to sit in the pocket and be patient at times as well.
T, let me ask you this, and I'm playing devil's advocate because. I have
there
to.
Ain't no my advocate, job right now. Devil's advocate with Malik.
It could be because he's playing against a bad defense.
Hey, you know what, Doug?
He's making
contested pressure field plays.
I'm gonna say something now that I please don't click it. I know they'll click it.
Hold on. Let me screen record. Go ahead, Omar.
Malik Willis is doing things Tua Tagovailoa couldn't do in his wildest dreams.
Oh, 100%. 1,000%. 1,000,000%.
The arm. Magnificent.
By the way, I want to point out something here. I'm going to throw it out there.
I wanted to just put TD on there. I couldn't do it.
Just beautiful.
When TD gets going talking about Malik Willis, he sounds like Don King promoting a fight.
Don King sold him fights, didn't he?
I'll let TD ride on everything he said. The off-platform throws. Oh.
The one he made today to Caleb?
I'm so glad that they're showing you guys that stuff because...
When was the last time we saw a Dolphin quarterback do that?
You never seen Dolphin quarterback.
Never. Mm-mm. It just gets you excited. But again, I'm tempering my expectations because I don't know what he's going to do against other NFL defenses.
I'm at the point where I believe that if you had gotten him Stephon Diggs and gotten him Jonnu Smith and he had a legitimate wide receiver and a legitimate tight end, he could do something.
I told you. We got us one.
He's not all the way there. He's still... He's got to speed it up a little bit, but every day. And
getting closer to that it, huh?
No. Well, let's calm down. We got to see it in the game, even though I never seen it in the game in real.
This is why I want to be interrupted, Omar. I got 18 things to read. Okay, we already five in on Malik, okay?
So let me get a coffee.
Knock it down to like three.
I want to hear 18.
I'll be quick. Reasons for Dolphins excitement. First of all, I'm going to knock out Jeff Hafley and John Eric Sullivan. We already know that. All right. Malik Willis, I didn't already explain. Caleb Douglas is surprising me, and I am very happy with what I'm seeing. Malik Washington, he was a certified number 4 and 5. I feel like he's elevated to a 3. Every piece of improvement is good for the team, right? Jordan Brooks, doing what he does best. Jacob Rodriguez is coming to his own. Zach Thomas 2.0. Kyle Lewis, you know, nothing to write home for, but look like he could be a good role player in his defense, making occasional plays. And to have Dotson as a backup, that's strong. That's strengthening your unit. Chop Robinson is coming on. I'm seeing improvement. Uche, I've seen a lot of nice bull rushes against Patrick Paul, making things tough. Really getting some pressure. You talk about the defensive tackle room. I am fully satisfied. Obviously, Kenneth Grant got a lot of work to do, but them other three guys, we good to go into the season. O-line, I just love it. This is one of the best O-lines I feel like we've had in a long time, and I think y'all going to see that when it's all said and done. Running backs, they're running hard, and we got some rookies that's actually coming up. Some rookies in that running back room that need some mentionings as well, in my opinion. The Chris Johnson, I already talked about it. If they keep him at the boundary, it's going to be amazing. And last but not least, the secret weapon that we just keep not talking about because we being cautious. Chris Bell gonna come light it up when it's time. Y'all ain't even thinking about that. So reasons for Dolphin excitement, we going to be all right. I think we're going to be competitive this year, and it's time to stand on it. No more brake pumping. Push the gas and crash out if you have to, because this is the team worthy of doing it for.
I should have asked TD. I should have asked TD, what are the reasons to not be excited?
I got you.
Let me criticize T's list. Malik Washington was a 3 and a 4. He made himself a 3. Okay, he was kind of a 3 last year. Not that he deserved it, but I don't count that.
Was he?
Kyle Lewis has done absolutely nothing. Dotson is a backup. He might be traded. Let's chill out on that. Robinson coming on, that's fair. Uche hasn't done anything. Defensive tackles, let's see them face a real offensive line. Offensive line, you're crazy, TD. Absolutely insane.
Running back,
I've seen 2 running backs on that roster. You need 4. Chris Johnson has not done anything. I do agree with you. He probably needs to be on the boundary. And Chris Bell, like, bro, when I see him practice, and I do see him running routes, but when I see him practice, I'll gain optimism.
Omar, since training camp started, the list in my head, every time I hear you, they just keep getting checked off. It keep becoming less and less. So just recognize that. That's all I'm saying. We're headed in the right direction. We're headed in the right direction.
In 3 weeks, Kyle Lewis could be balling. Uche could be addressed. Defensive tackle be addressed. Malik Washington could be good. Offensive line, maybe you could claim some more tackles. Running back, maybe these guys, Ali plays better with pads on, because Ali's been one of my top disappointments of camp so far. Chris Johnson, I like him. I just don't think he's going to struggle as a nickel. Nickel is a hard position to play. You don't just come out the gate, and that's like a slot receiver.
Why do they have him on the boundary today?
Because they have nobody else to play.
So maybe that's where they end up shifting him, maybe?
They might do that, but that required somebody at nickel to step up. Where Ethan Robinson, is that who you're counting on to step up?
I don't know who I'm counting on, to be honest with this secondary.
Neither do they.
Before we get to the donations, because we got about 10 minutes, I need to ask TD something.
Super Bowl, Doug.
What are you going to do if they don't do well?
If who doesn't do well?
Doug? The entire team.
It's not in my vocabulary.
So it's they start 2-7. Your mentality is what?
If the Dolphins start 2-7, once again, what's the context here? Malik got hurt or something?
Just pick one.
If they start 2-7 and Malik is contributing to that, then blow it all up and let's get ready for our next quarterback. It's that simple. I just believe in what's happening right now. I feel like we're headed in the right direction, and we're building a tough cultured team that's going to compete with anyone. What do you
think that they're tough cultured?
Do I really have to prove that they're tough culture? Jeff Hafley got everybody out there hustling on that field. Everybody running to the play when it's over. Everybody in pursuit defense. Everybody not backing down. They literally getting in each other's face and making it happen. This team is a tough team, and we got plenty of dogs. Hey. Some y'all don't want to recognize yet, but this team has dogs. And as long as you got dogs, we barking.
Can I give my reason for excitement? Iron sharpens iron.
It does.
Let's get to the dogs. Okay.
Hold on. Wait, let me say something. He has more perspective than I do because he's seen a lot more coaches than I have.
Because I'm old, is that what you're saying?
Wow. Yeah.
You've read between the lines.
That's oldism.
Tony Sperano coached a tough team. Mm-hmm. When you show me that they practice like Tony Sperano's team, when you show me some Randy Starks, I'll be like, yeah. They have not proven to me that they're a tough team. I'm not saying that they're not going to be a tough team, but they have not proven that. Tony Sperano, they walked on that field, they weren't going to beat themselves, and they were going to be more physical than you, with very few exceptions.
I think you're going to see that in 2 days, Omar. I think you're going to see that in 2 days.
We'll see.
In 2 days.
Black Ops Zombie said, what about D. McCulley, wide receiver? It seems like he hasn't moved up and is still with the third stringers. Heard he's been pretty good in camp as well.
Made some plays.
Big dude. I like him. I don't know that there's a spot for him on the team.
But I thought he was a tight end when he made a play.
Jay Tillman said, I'm laughing at one more. I'm a Waddle fan. Have y'all seen him balling out in Denver? I'm loving the way the Fins are looking. Watching and reading all your stuff. Win more six.
He's sidelined. He's got like a lower.
I was about to say, yeah, he hurt his quad or something.
Leno.
He's hearing TD say iron sharpens iron is wild. It's more like two plastic knives rubbing together. If Douglas, a number one receiver, y'all cook 5-12, here you come. I just hate that Caleb Douglas has my name as his last name, because in the chat people are like saying like Douglas this, like, and I'm like, why is everyone talking about me? I'm like, oh no, it's the receiver's last name. Two plastic knives rubbing together.
Leno is the resident Buffalo Bills lover and Dolphin hater. That's all it is.
Have you heard, speaking of Buffalo Bills, have you heard how bad that stadium is apparently with all the blind spots? Yikes. Ian said, this show is the best. Thank you all for the coverage. We appreciate you, Ian. You've been rocking with us for how long? 10 months, almost a year. Mike said, that's what TD is saying. Caleb Douglas and Dulcich are good. So why can't we have something? We'll see. Again, I see where Omar's coming as well, because it's like you could say, oh, they're good, but then like what corners are they going
to not with? Add good to young and promising is my point. Like, they're like, if you want to see where Malik is going to be or what he can potentially do, give him some real weapons.
So what's this Keenan Allen talk?
I was going to say, Bleacher Report talking about Keenan Allen.
Yeah, Keenan Allen's not leaving the West Coast for whatever reason.
Not only that, he's 53 years old. He runs a
five. Whoa, ageism. Whoa.
Hey. Keenan Allen is one of the best route runners and best slot receivers in
the league. Doesn't change the fact he's 53 and he runs a 5.3 in the 40 nowadays. I mean, sorry.
Ian said,
hey, can he still get open though? I don't know, but
sometimes.
Ian said, heard a bunch of good things about, I'm assuming you're saying Jacob Rodriguez. Chances he starts the season as the starter next to Brooks.
50-50.
It's a possibility. 70-30. Keeps it up.
60-40, I'd say.
Keeps it up. JD DeGreat, been a member for 15 months. He says, the joint practice will be telling, can't wait.
I'm not putting all that stock in joint practices, but I
it's one joint practice. Yeah, it's
one joint practice.
Yeah.
It's one joint practice. You don't.
So if they go in there and punch him in the mouth, we just it was one joint practice.
No, yeah, we're happy about it because it's a good step in the right direction.
But like,
it's
not close. Chicago straight up knocked Miami on the
Ellen, you know,
times, and then Miami won the game.
I do know.
Ellen, we're going to be doing a show 4 o'clock on Wednesday, right? Because we want to get you guys the joint practice news ASAP. And you know for a fact, if they are good in any aspect, TD is going to lose. I can already see his live stream and all the fire emojis.
He's
going to rip his shirt off.
I'm going to have to make a choice whether I watch offense or defense, because they're probably going to go split field.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm clearly going to have to watch offense. So that means I'm going to be blind in terms of what happened on defense. You cannot watch it all.
We don't care about Omar. We're going to do it.
That's why you're going to watch the offense, Omar. You're a Malik lover.
He's coming in too. We proud of you, Omar. We see you. We're almost ready to
win. I've come a long way. I've come a long way, because them OTA practices, they were trash. That was Chad Henne 2.0.
That's warm up.
Mr. Relentless, thank you for becoming a member. We appreciate you. Ian says, with how much hope TD been selling lately, I got to wonder, did the Dolphins hire him?
Pro bono, baby.
And then Mike said, Omar has PTSD. I think we all
have PTSD. That's all it is. He twitches.
Dolphins even claim I have PTSD. But I mean, my argument is I've been here since 2007. What do you want?
Watch him twitch. Tua.
Before we get out of here, tomorrow there is, Alan, you said a walkthrough. Are you guys going to be putting an article out about it, or
we're not allowed?
So essentially, tomorrow there's no training camp, and then Wednesday will be day 11, I guess you can say.
Tomorrow they will walk through what they will call and practice against Washington to make sure that they don't embarrass themselves, and let's hope they show up on Wednesday. I will be one of three South Florida media members watching the practice. There's going to be a lot of pressure on us. And as usual, I'm going to shoot it to y'all as straight as I could give it to you. Like,
Go check them out.
We're still, we have not talked about Chop Robinson putting Patrick Paul on his ass. I'm sorry.
He slipped.
Maddie, with the
that's what he said. And TD, if you saw the play,
I need Tommy from Hialeah to verify.
His pads, and he kept pushing him back until Patrick lost his balance and Chop wound up on top of him. Give them.
I like that. Those two are going at it.
They are going at it every day, and they talk crap, and it's iron sharpening.
I was going to say, Alan,
it's been happening with Zach Sealer and Proctor too a lot. Talking about just going at them when Sealer is
not like this.
Not like
Maddie B said, you're not going anywhere with other teams rejects. Bupart, wasn't Sealer another team's reject?
Funny you should mention that, because I wrote a story on MiamiDolphinsOnTheSide.com. Whoa, don't put it. Don't leave it there for a second. Okay. You're going to go the outlier. That's like saying a six-round pick's not much. Well, wasn't Tom Brady a six-round pick? Yes, there are outliers. I did the research. The Dolphins since 2019 have gotten, I think it's 43 waiver wire claims. There are like five of them who've become anything with the Dolphins, and Zach Sealer's one of them. So, yes, it can happen. The chances are it's not going to.
JJ said one more thing. I like Robert Beal Jr.
I do too.
Maddie Best said, Maddie, that's one name. Another, wasn't Cameron Wake a reject?
No, he was a free agent.
Cameron Wake never made it to Giants training camp. They cut him.
That's what I'm saying. So, what is any a Giants reject? That went to Canada and came to Miami years ago.
Oh, is that
there were like 18 bidding for Cameron Wake coming from the CFL.
And then Idle Man with the tenor said, Alan, is the logo on your cap a new yet to release Dolphins logo?
That's a funky looking dolphin right there.
All right. Go check out the guys, Omar Kelly and Alan Poupart. Omar Kelly on Miami Herald, Alan Poupart, Miami Dolphins on SI. Great articles. And again, give us the eyes when we aren't there, them and all the other fantastic beat writers. Go check out TV.
I love the people, and I'm bringing this up because, and no offense if you do this, Doug, who say, these are the things I've learned from watching training camp
Actually, right. What I do is when I'm reading, because I read I bookmark your tweets, all your tweets, and when I read it, I say this is from, and that's why
I always tell you, you're the Pro Football Talk for Dolphins Land. That everybody who wants to just get a conglomerate of what everybody is saying, they come to you. But then there's some people. I'm not going to name any people because I don't want to give a reason for them to hate me. But they sit here and they like act like they've been there and they are watching and they see Tommy from Hialeah's videos and they get dissected. I'm like, yo.
70-yard runs. Yeah.
Anyway, go check out TD. He will also be at the joint practice on Wednesday. Like we said, 4 o'clock on Wednesday. We're going to be a little earlier because we're going to pick their brains about the joint practice. Go check them out, youtube.com/TD Finstalk and Roundtable Sports. And you can check me out, youtube.com/DougLeeDurong. We will see you guys Wednesday, 4 o'clock. Have a great rest of your week. Goodbye.